Yeah. Oh, you have already. Oh, okay. Bragan, you have, huh? Who else don't have? Okay. Since. Oh, Richard on a copy. Yeah. Never mind, we can leave behind some for Brother Gan. Oh, okay. Yeah. Where is Brother Tay? We wait for Brother Tay. Yeah. You can have more. Suyan brought a lot. Yeah. Take some more. Whoever don't have, you can keep some then. Yeah, take, no problem. Yeah. What about Brother Danny Dale? Danny and the wife, pass it to him. Or give to Susan, You see your brother or not? You better take for Danny. Yeah. Anyway, this is for him, Yeah, sadhu. Today's topic is, I think, the summary of the series of 37 Factors of Enlightenment topics. We have covered all. Then today is a final summary. So this title is good. You look at the whiteboard. If it's too small, I'll read it out to you. How to develop the 37 Factors of Enlightenment while you are developing the daily mindfulness, means in moment-to-moment cultivation. Your cultivation has to reach the ability to be within the moment, means in the midst of life, you are fully aware, heedful. That's why the heedful never die. Okay, we wait for Brahati. Brahati is here,
Good evening, Brother Theo, and all Kalyana Mitras. Welcome to NBC here again. And tonight's topic, I think that Brother Theo has mentioned just now, is how to cultivate the 37 factors of enlightenment from moment to moment. We have several months ago and a series of talks on these 37 factors of enlightenment. And now finally, you can say that it is the actual practice in minute details, analyzing, watching the mind. So, as usual, before Brother Theo takes over the mic, let us take refuge and observe the precept. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. ปานาติปาตาเวรามณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิอาดินาดานาเวรามณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิกามิสุมิจฉาจาราเวรามณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิมุสาวาทาเวรามณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสุราเมรัยมัจจปมาทฐานาเวรามณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสาธุสาธุสาธุ
Brother Tim. Okay, thank you so much, Brother, for helping out in the puja and the introduction. So tonight we meet again. Today is the 8th September 2017, Friday. We are at this MBC Tiratana Buddhist Center. So I am indeed very grateful. To be invited again to share some important dhammas with you all. Today's topic is very unique, as you can see on the whiteboard. Understanding how to develop the 37 factors of enlightenment in moment-to-moment cultivation. So this was the topic Brother Gan forward to me, and I told him, good, it's a very good topic. Then, like I explained before, we start the talk. We have been covering a series of this talk. I think there are a total of 7 categories, as you can see on the whiteboard. These 7 categories, if you add them all up, you will have the 37 factors of enlightenment. And each of these categories, we have gone through quite detailed sharing. And I have explained to you in fairly detailed ways how to develop all this cultivation and how the 37 factors of enlightenment can bring about causes and conditions for enlightenment to happen. That's the reason why it's called the 37 factors of enlightenment. But in the Buddhist teaching, according to Sakyamuni Buddha, when he teach the essential Dhamma, he teach a specific 7 factors of enlightenment. Those are the real enlightenment factors. When you cultivate accordingly and develop the appropriate right cultivation, these 7 factors of enlightenment will be there. And these are real Dhamma factors of enlightenment. Without these 7 factors of enlightenment, you cannot awaken. That's the reason why when I share that topic, I still remember. A lot of cultivators, they are not clear about the cultivation. They are not sure about the cultivation. So they have been doing a lot of meditation. They follow a lot of teacher, a lot of method, a lot of technique, then a lot of instruction, focusing, concentrating, noting, and doing all those meditation. But they never inquire deeply as to what is meditation as taught by the Buddha. And how come the Buddha mentioned all these enlightenment factors, especially the 7 core enlightenment factors, which we have gone through after I will review it again. These seven factors of enlightenment, the core seven factors of enlightenment, they are very important. If you have been cultivating correctly, this factor enlightenment will arise in you. Then you know you are on the right path. If none of the factors of enlightenment are there, then you have to check, what are you doing? That is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And these seven factors of enlightenment, the core one, they are very, very important. The first factor is sati, mindfulness, the Buddha said. And you can't even understand what sati is. It's very difficult for you to cultivate the enlightenment factor, to arise even the enlightenment factor. And without sati, the Buddha said, you cannot investigate the Dhamma. You cannot move. You cannot cultivate, like I explained before. Sati is fundamental to all practice. That's why the essential meditation, which is the four foundations of mindfulness, is about sati. Satipatthana, the four foundations of mindfulness. Without sati, you cannot cultivate this four foundations of mindfulness. And the foundation of mindfulness are for you to anchor your sati or mindfulness. First foundation is kaya nupassana, followed by vedana nupassana, which is the feeling foundation. Kaya is physical body, the bodily movement and activity and vibration, or your breathing, your rising and falling, or your vibration through your chanting or whatever. Your four posture, all these are under kaya. The four elements, the 32 parts, the nine stages of cemetery, decomposition of this physical form, they are all under kaya nupassana. And you're supposed to develop mindfulness on this. Then feeling arise every now and then, every moment of sense experience upon contact. Feeling, which is one of the seven universal, will definitely be there. Then without mindfulness, you are not sensitive, you are not aware. You cannot understand how you function as a human being, how your mind manifests, how they arise and pass away, how the mental activity simultaneously, the content of consciousness arise upon contact. Not only feeling, perception, reaction, stirring, views, opinion, everything, they are there. Even manasikara, attention, is also there. Yeah. So, without sati, you can't be aware of all this that the Buddha teach. Then the third foundation is, you go deeper than feeling. You go into your mind states, the various mental states, which is under citta nupassana, mindfulness of mind states. Then the fourth foundation is the last, accumulating into Dhamma, Dhamma nupassana, mindfulness of Dhamma, the essential Dhamma that the Buddha teach. Starting with the five mental hindrances. After understanding the mental hindrances, then only you can move in to the next category, which is the five aggregate of form and mind. Then only you can look at your own six internal sense bases and six external sense bases cultivation, the 18 sense rhyme, to truly understand the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught. If you don't do the six internal and six external sense bases, you cannot trace the origination factor of mind states that arise. Your anger, your hatred, your selfishness, your fear, how they arise. You have to trace the origination factor. Before you get angry, there was no anger. Before you have fear, there was no fear. Then how did it arise? That's why it's from the senses, one of the senses, one of the internal sense bases, and the external sense bases, which is the sense data. Upon contact, the corresponding consciousness arises. At the moment of consciousness, what happened? How do you stir your mind, react, input the content of consciousness through your wrong view, wrong understanding? That's how you become deceived, deluded. And when you lack right view, right understanding, the evil roots will be there. Your mind will not understand truth. It will create heedless thinking. It will give rise to mental hindrances that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. So all this needs sati. Without sati, you can't deal with them. Then the second factor of enlightenment is, of course, you have to investigate into the Dhamma, which is Dhamma Vichaya. Without sati, again, you cannot investigate. You need sati to investigate. And what is sati? The silent mind. The awareness before the knowing. So all this you need to understand. To investigate is to find out whether it's the truth or not. We don't hold on to a view, an idea, or a theory. Otherwise, we are already trapped in duality. Have an open mind, free mind, means we don't know. We find out what is truth and what is non-truth. We can investigate on what the Buddha taught, Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. One leads to suffering, the other one leads to happiness in the here and the now. Happiness will follow you like your shadow that never leaves you. So you investigate. Through mindfulness you can investigate. You are heedless what happened. Then you realize the Buddha is so wise. He is so correct. He said, if you are heedless, you will act, speak, and think with a heedless mind. Because of that wrong view, the self-delusion, the heedlessness, you will arise the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And because of that, suffering will follow you like the wheel that follows the hoof of the cart. And all this you can put to test, investigate upon it. Where you have anger, selfishness, fear, worry, anxiety, self-delusion, what happened to you? Are you happy? Or are you stressed out? Or did you arise evil? Because these are evil roots, make you evil. Then you have to understand what constitutes evil. That's why without sati, you cannot develop all this. You cannot understand all this. Then if you cannot put to test all the essential Dhamma and teaching, you can only give rise to belief. No matter what you believe, it is not strong. It is not going to help you. Because blind faith will not lead you to any understanding. Belief has to be born of understanding. When you understand, your faith is very strong. It's not blind faith. It's faith that arises through understanding who the Buddha is, how wise he is, how unique and special his teaching is. That's why that sadha, that faith, is very, very stable until it becomes unshakable. And all these are enlightenment factors. So, first core enlightenment factor is sati. Sati is most important. Without sati, you cannot be heedful. Because to be heedful, you must be ever mindful to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That's the reason why Dhammapada verse 23, the Buddha said, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one, if you hold on to these two practices, you will realize the supreme enlightenment, which is Nibbana. Guarantee. So if you don't have sati, you cannot be ever mindful. If you cannot be ever mindful, you cannot cultivate heedfulness. So sati is most important. And without sati, there is no heedfulness. And the Buddha said very clearly under Dhammapada verse 21, the heedless are as if dead. For heedlessness is the path to the dead. Means spiritually you are dead. You don't stand a chance. You may be conscious of life, but you are not mindful. You are not aware. You are not heedful. That's why you are heedless. And the heedless are as if dead. That's the reason why if you cultivate with wrong understanding, you can never, never awaken. Because the understanding is the first thing you must do is to develop mindfulness leading to heedfulness. You cannot be heedful in the midst of life. You don't stand a chance in enlightenment. That is as simple as it is. And to be heedful is not easy. But if you understand, it's not difficult. The problem is people don't understand what sati is. What is the meaning of ever mindful? That's the reason why you look at the title of the talk. I like this word which Brother Gan chose. In moment-to-moment cultivation. What is moment-to-moment cultivation? Means you cultivate or meditate every moment. You understand? And how can you do this? This type of cultivation. This can only happen if you have mindfulness very stable. Do you understand? You are ever mindful. Otherwise, you cannot. So the cultivation under the essential Dhamma that the Buddha taught is the four foundation of mindfulness. And under this foundation, Kaya Nupassana, there is a section of cultivation where he said you have to develop mindfulness of the four postures followed by Sati Sampajana. Means not only mindful, there must be clear comprehension of everything that you do within the moment. Means you're not only mindful of all action and all movement in the present moment, you're also clearly comprehending all this training or cultivation. And there are four types of clear comprehension that the Buddha taught about. So all this we have already covered. So clear comprehension so that you will not go astray. And all this will lead to understanding. Because without the clear comprehension, you can go wrong. So now you will go direct into the topic proper. The title of the talk is How to Cultivate the 37 Factors of Enlightenment in Moment-to-Moment Cultivation. In order to understand this topic, you must understand what are the 37 factors of enlightenment. These are the general factors of enlightenment that the Buddha talked about. And we have covered them, and I help you by writing them down. The first category of practice under the 37 factors of enlightenment are the four bases of success, or they call the four bases of accomplishment. This one is a general factor of enlightenment. These are for people who don't have the Dhamma. They haven't discovered the Dhamma yet. Ordinary lay person, you can use this. And this can bring forth success. That's why it's called basis of success or accomplishment. Whatever you want to accomplish in life, you apply this for. Then you can realize it. What are these four? Revision. First one is what? very good. Chanda. What is chanda? Passion. Passion. Something that you love. You want to achieve. You want to realize. It can be your career, your ambition, sports, or something that you are really interested in. You must have passion. So the Pali word is chanda. So this one is passion. Then the second one is what? The second basis of success is what? Very good. Virya is If it's for spiritual faculty, it's called spiritual zeal. But if it's for ordinary, it's just zeal. Or tenacity. Yeah? To diligently develop the understanding and the cultivation. So when you have passion, you must have this virya, which is a type of tenacity or energy that will drive you to cultivate. Because you have this passion for it. You like this thing. And you will continuously develop it through trial and error or whatever. Then what do you use to develop this? The third basis of success is what? If you don't know the Dhamma, you only have one thing. What is it? Huh? Start with C. Citta. Huh? Or consciousness. Citta is mind. Or consciousness. And this citta is willpower, mental power. Will or mental power. Mental power. Yeah. Last one is what? Vimamsa. Yes. What is Vimamsa? Yeah? Investigative. When you want to find out, you put it to test. So Vimamsa is a lay person's approach to investigation. Because you're not sure. Somebody may come and tell you, oh, you want to be successful in chess, you must read up the chess book. You must read this person's book. You don't know. So what you do? You find out. That's why Vimamsa is investigative. You find out. You put the test. Then when you find that this one works, you use it. It's like China. How China become what it is today. At first they have big problem. They have an ideology problem. They believe communism suits them. So they don't like democracy. But then China went down. Never came up. Because they don't understand the reality of life and existence. So later on, there is a leader by the name of Deng Xiaoping. Yeah, he have new idea. He said, I'm like you, a blind person. I also doesn't know which one work. But to me, I'm not interested in whether I follow communism or democracy. Well, this one has got no relevant, no meaning. Whichever system that work and can help me, I will use. That's why he tried it out. He said, I am blind. I investigate. I find out. So city by city, he tried. They have already tried communism. Doesn't work. It doesn't give incentive. The country is backward. The people are not motivated. And they just don't know what to do to change their life. Then they realize one thing. When they are weak, they are being bullied. People bully them. And they create a lot of hardship for the country and the people. They have gone through all the various type of historical event that leads to what they decide. Finally, they realize all the emperor, the dynasty, leads to corrupt practices and infighting, riots, everything, war, non-stop. Then they decided to become republic. After they become republic, they still got ideology problem inside. So Deng Xiaoping gave an analogy. He said, like you have two types of cat, white cat and black cat. You go and argue which cat is better. No point. The cat that can catch the mice is a good cat. Understand? Because it solved my problem. So If you have a free mind, open mind, you put to test. Whatever that you learn, people teach you or share with you, you put to test. If it works, use it. That's how he started by opening up small areas, Shenzhen. Then he find it workable. Then he moved to another city. Then he adopt all the good principle. Then the idea get brainstormed and evolve some more. That's how China become very advanced after that. So he said, as a blind man, I find out. And I don't want to discriminate and divide. As long as it can help me solve my problem, I will use them, irrespective of what color that cat is. So that is a very good and wise move. So Vimamsa is towards that investigative part. And this one is suitable for lay people. You find out which works. Then even later on, as you encounter the Dhamma, your understanding will change accordingly, evolve accordingly. Then when the spiritual understanding fit in, you become complete. Otherwise, you are still one-sided. Because this type of basis of success, you strive on without spiritual understanding, what happened? Yeah, what happened? Your willpower can lead you to downfall, understand? Huh? That's why all the leaders, they have very strong willpower, understand? Huh? But if your will is tend towards power, selfishness, all those negativity to control, to rule, to take advantage, to suppress the poor, the poverty, and make full use of what they call people's weakness in order to bring about benefits and advantage to yourself. So all this can lead to karmic negativity that it will hit back. So the basis of success can lead you to realize or achieve what you want. But if you do not do it with spiritual understanding, which is the Dhamma aspect, the spiritual aspect, it can lead to downfall. And this is where modern theory or books, they talk about the law of attraction. You remember? Positive white attract positive white people. Means positive thought energy attract the same vibration and type of people. So if you are ambitious, aggressive, you will associate with that. Then you will it. You determine to be successful, to be rich, to be wealthy, irrespective of what happened to others. So if you use willpower, there is no protection, no spiritual protection or understanding behind. So this one is for the initial enlightenment factor when you have not come into contact with the Dhamma. So these are lay people's type of enlightenment factor for you to develop success or accomplish whatever you want. So this one, of course, we can cultivate anytime. You don't need mindfulness to cultivate because all these four don't have mindfulness. That's why I say these are worldly enlightenment factor. These are not the core enlightenment factor. The core enlightenment factor are number 6, the 7 factors of enlightenment. Just now I cover only the first 2. Then later, if you got time, I cover them all. Okay, then after that, the Buddha's teaching come in. Based on right view, with respect to law of karma. That's why that right view is very important. Then the Buddha say, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. And each and every living being, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. Since karma plays such a great role in your life, what must you do if you want your life to be successful? You have to take care of karma. Because you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it. And you are what you are every moment, every instant because of that karma. So you need to take care of karma. Then karma take care of your life. How do you take care of karma? You have to avoid all evil to good, which is the advice of the Buddha. That's why the third advice, to purify the mind, to develop wisdom. So first two, avoid all evil to good, the Buddha come out with this four right effort. We have gone through before. The first two right effort is what? Right effort to abandon what? All the unwholesome action, speech, and thought process that you arise in life. That's why it's moment to moment. It's life. And also, how you live life. You must have the right effort to develop the understanding. There is a power factor called right living. But most people call it right livelihood. Livelihood is only a small part of right living. The way you live your life, if it's not in accordance with the spiritual law that governs life and existence, you will develop karmic negativity. That's the reason why you must live life in accordance with Noble Eightfold Path. Otherwise, you will have problems. So, right effort to abandon all the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and the wrong way of living life is a very important cultivation. So that right effort to abandon all this evil action, speech, and thought, which include the way you live your life, means you have to abandon all of your selfishness, your greediness, your covetousness, your desire, your craving, your lust, your envy, your jealousy, your hatred, your anger, your emotional negativity, then your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow and lamentation. Whenever they arise, you have to abandon them. And if you are not mindful throughout the day, ever mindful, how can you be aware of all this negativity of mind state, the evil roots? First, you must understand what constitutes evil. Then only you can be mindful of them. And to be mindful of that, you have to be ever mindful. So that every moment, every instant, it can come. Just now at the dinner, I think I heard Leslie and Christina were discussing something before we left. If I'm not wrong, Christina was trying to tell Leslie, it's not easy. You say what already? I forgot already. To chuan what? Mind is a forerunner of all things. So when that mind doesn't go right, you have to reverse it, understand that? And that time I thought, if got time, I would have add something and advise her. But then we have to come for class, so I said, never mind, let it be. You got condition, I will share it. You see, without awareness, what she say, you cannot do it. Do you understand? That's why mindfulness is very important. When your mind state has this evil root of greed, hatred, and delusion, which is citta nupassana, the Buddha said you must be aware. That's why throughout the day you are not sensitive. Without mindfulness, you cannot be aware. The evil roots are there, making you evil and heedless, and yet you don't know. And yet, you gullibly say you are a meditator, cultivator. You practice vipassana. That is the most gullible. Understand? You don't even know that the evil roots are there. The mental hindrance are there. And you cannot even find out whether the enlightenment factors are there or not because you don't even know what they are. And there is no mindfulness to be aware. So how can you cultivate moment to moment? It's important. That's why without mindfulness continuously developed, you don't stand a chance. That's why when Brother Gan told me he started to do the bowing, I say, good, sadhu, because this is how you start. You have to bow. Don't worry. Don't try to know. Just do. He said, must it be Mahayana style? No need. The Theravada 5 points. When the faith is there, sadha, virya, then you just do. Body and mind as one, do. Until the sati come. The form and mind will know. all of a sudden one day, the form and mind will have that understanding. How come now like that? Then you will understand what I try to share with you. The body and the mind really move as one, no thought. Then everything is like that. Specific phenomenal awareness. You are mindful on your own throughout the day. That is the stability of mindfulness. You have to reach that point to cultivate moment-to-moment awareness or sati. Then after you have the ability to abandon all those wrong thoughts, you have to move on to the next step. The next step is right effort to what? Right effort to prevent, understand or not? The wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action from arising. How can you prevent it from arising? Like Christina said, you can't even move, understand? That's why he said, must reverse all this, chuan pian. Chuan nian, change the thinking to right thought. Or right action, right speech. It's, like I said, the wisdom, the Dhamma, the understanding, if it's with you, then it is there. Where this is yoniso, manasikara, wisdom, at the moment of sense experience. You have means you have. You don't have means you don't have. You cannot deal with it. You cannot, at the moment of sense experience, try to chuan pian. Cannot. You have to develop the understanding first. You have to contemplate deep what constitutes evil. Then you know these are evil, make you evil, evil roots that make you evil. There's an anger, you have to root it out. Then how you root it out? The five ways that the Buddha teach. Apply them. The most effective is the third way and the fourth way. The third way is just to be aware that it ceases to be. Then the fourth way is to develop wisdom. Trace the origination factor. That's why all the practices of the four foundations under Dhammanupassana, mindful of the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases, they will come into play. And all this, you have to integrate them into the cultivation. Then from there, you develop the understanding. Where you trace the origination factor. Before I get angry, before there is fear or desire, selfishness, there was none. Then how did it come in? It because when I see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile feel or think, at that moment of sense experience, I don't have right view. I don't have right understanding. That's why my mind stir and react. That's how I get into I get into the mental states of anger, envy, jealousy, craving, desire, emotional negativity, the stirring and all those things. Then you realize this is wrong view. So what you have to do? You have to straighten your view. Straighten your view means you develop the understanding. In the future, how can I see, hear, smell, taste, tactile feel and think and yet not disturb, not affected by what I see, what I hear, what I smell, what I taste, what I tactile feel and think? And this has to happen within life, moment to moment. You have to reflect, contemplate. First turning, second turning, the third turning of the Four Noble Truths. And the third turning is trace the origination factor. Then retrospectively reverse it. So that in future when I see again or hear, smell, taste, tactile feel or think, I will not have the wrong view to react and stir. And this is heedless thinking, heedless mental reaction born of wrong view. Because you never do all this cultivation and practice. Without mindfulness, you also cannot do. You are not aware. You cannot see. And you are not contemplate deep into what constitutes evil. That's why you cannot prevent them from arising. But when you have this understanding born of the five ways that the Buddha teach you, especially the third and the fourth way, then you develop some form of understanding, right view, then you know all this can be overcome. When I straighten my view to see things as they are, then they are just the way they are. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. Everything follows nature's law. Like the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. And this is part of nature. The reality is, condition like that, things will be like that. It cannot be otherwise. Be one thing your way, you suffer. You will stir, you will react, you will have craving. That's how living beings get afflicted, tormented, suffering arise, stress up. So this understanding will free your mind. Then the next time when you see something, hear something, smell something, you are in sati, you are fully aware, you have right view. That's why you can prevent the arising of wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. We have no point. You see them all. This leads to coming negativity. This will lead to downfall. And this is not the way to live life, the noble life. So the second right effort automatically comes in. Then after that, the next two right efforts is to develop the wholesomeness. The third right effort is what? To cultivate the right speech, right thought, right action that are still not in you. Then you have to find out what constitutes right thought, right speech, right action. And how do you develop the Noble Eightfold Path to develop the right living? All this you need to cultivate. Then only the third right effort can come in. Because right effort to cultivate the goodness, the virtue, the right thought, right speech, right action, pleasant and gentle, good speeches that brings about love, harmony, understanding. You have to understand what they are. Then only you can arise the right effort to cultivate them. That's why you must have gratitude. You must have contentment. You must have this mind that can appreciate life. Appreciate what your spouse, your loved one, your staff, your friend, your neighbor has done for you. Your parent has done for you and sacrificed for you. All these are virtue. Good mind state. Pleasant, gentle and good speeches. Generous action. Very, very appropriate type of right action. Which is not only non-killing, not only don't steal, but you do the ennoble. You develop love, you develop compassion, you develop generosity. Not only you don't steal, you become generous. You donate, you offer your service, you help out. Then not only you don't commit sexual misconduct, you develop filial piety towards your wife, your spouse, then you sincerely maintain your love for them. Then be genuine about it. Be truthful about it. Be sincere about it. Then there is no more of this craving, desire, selfishness behind. Then instead of lying, cheating, deceiving people, you arise all the opposite and noblest of right speech, gentle, pleasant, and kind, good speeches that leads to understanding, harmony, love, happiness, joy. That's why the gift of life help people to come out of their suffering, misery, misunderstanding, and all those things. Then when you appreciate and thank people for what they have done for you, you bring forth love to the world. You bring forth good condition for their mind states to calm down, to be at peace, to be very happy, instead of holding on to the anger, the hatred, the envy, the jealousy, the delusion and all those things. These are all negativity of mind state, evil root, root of all evil, make you evil. Then the last right effort is to refine upon and perfect all this right speech, right action, right thought that you have already developed. So this four right effort is continuously throughout the day, initially, you have to develop it. And this one hasn't gone into the real meditation. This is to just follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good. But this will bring for a lot of virtue in you, prevent a lot of karmic negativity, so that you have the ability to maintain the good life, because these are karmic wholesomeness that bring forth the good karmic inheritance or merits. And you can invoke power of merits for whatever. Then when you go through life with this type of condition, you have less problem. That's why the Buddha said in his teaching, if you keep your precept, what happens? Yeah? Three things grow if you keep your precept. Precept is the source of what? Spiritual joy, happiness. That's why you are very happy, you are very peaceful, because you don't violate the precept, nobody come after you. That's why you have spiritual peacefulness of mind, spiritual joy. That's why precept is the source of spiritual joy and spiritual peacefulness of mind. Then it is also a source of spiritual wealth, because when you keep your precepts, you will have the clear mind, the condition to meditate, to develop the Dhamma understanding. Then if you were to take this precept in front of the Sangha or a teacher, lay practitioner or what, then they will teach you the Dhamma. When you make offering, they will also share the Dhamma with you. They will also chant the blessing for you. So all this can bring about the third benefits of keeping precept. That's why precept is the source of spiritual wealth. Yeah. Then after that, you will move on to the cultivation of the five spiritual faculties. These spiritual faculties are very important, and I think you know what they are. Huh? What are they? Yes. Sadda, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. And these five, when you cultivate until they become very stable, it will accumulate into spiritual balance or powers. Sadda is faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. And this one you have to reflect and contemplate until it becomes very stable. Faith and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. This faith, you have to develop it. You have to contemplate, reflect according to the teaching. That's why you have to constantly chant. When you know who the Buddha is, how special and unique a being he is, and how wonderful his teaching is, your faith in him becomes unshakable. Where he is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened, perfect in wisdom and virtue. You can see the Buddha at the time when he arrives, he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. To have him as your teacher, your guide, you should count your blessing. You will develop great respect and gratitude towards him. And that is what the Buddha is all about. It's not an ordinary being. Then his teaching can bring about enlightenment in the here and now and free your mind. That's why when I chant and recite, Ittipeso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho, there is this deep understanding and joy. Such indeed is the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. Then when you pay your respect, you take refuge. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. That's why all this chanting, you must do it with understanding, with the faith. And this will develop very strong faith. And faith is very vital, because this is a spiritual faculty that can allow you to receive spiritual teaching. When you have faith, your mind is very calm, very peaceful, and you are very composed. That's why you have confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, and there is no more doubt. Your faith will drive you to cultivate. That's why from Sada, there is this virya or spiritual zeal. They will arise for you to cultivate. Then when you have this spiritual zeal, it will activate you. It will activate you to move, to cultivate. Then you will start your cultivation. That's how sati come about. Mindfulness come about. This is mindfulness. Sati is mindfulness. Mindfulness is awareness before the knowing. Just aware. When you are just aware, you already mindful. Without thought, you already mindful. When there is thought, you are lost in thought. You cannot be mindful. You become heedless. You think a lot. You are preoccupied with your thought process. Your verbalization, your chattering, your mental stirring and reaction. Without sati, you cannot see all this. You cannot understand all this. So sati, you have to develop until it arises. Then only the form and mind understand what that thing is. That's why you are taught to develop the faith, the respect. Paying respect, bowing, got a lot of advantage. By itself, is a meritorious action. Because respect to the triple gem, to the worthy ones, to elders, four things grow. Ayu, wana, sukang, palang, we have control. That is a meritorious action. Then when you pay respect, you lower your ego, your humility will arise. That's how you slowly, slowly clear your egoic mind. Then when you can develop until the sati come, then you realize no one is bowing. No one is paying respect. It's just the body and mind move as one. All this understanding you will develop as you cultivate. Then when you do that, you develop sati, mindfulness. That is what sati training is all about. Then after that, you have to move it to the four posture. Standing aware, sitting aware, walking aware, lying down aware. That's why it's a full-time job. But you don't have to retire to do that. It can be in the midst of life, cultivating all this. Moment to moment is not a problem. Many cultivators who understand, they have done it. My own nature also has done it. It's very easy, not difficult. Why can't you do it? Then as you pay your respect, yeah, you also exercise your body. That's why there is a lot of benefits from bowing. Then you develop your faith and all those things. Then when sati arises, that is the first enlightenment factor. Then you can investigate the Dhamma like I explained just now. Then now it's no more vimamsa. Means you really, really put the Dhamma to test. You investigate on it, whatever the Buddha say, the dependent origination. You check in the meditation, the five degree of form and mind upon contact, what happened? Is it according to the teaching of Patichasamuppada? Then all of the Dhammapada verses you can put to test. The essential Dhamma, the three evil roots, the five spiritual faculties, the five mental hindrances, you can put to test. Then you will come to understand without the five spiritual faculties, the mental hindrances take over. That's why you cannot meditate. Then when you cultivate this spiritual faculty, you become very different. You become so different. Then you realize when the spiritual faculty is there, I already explained, the mental hindrance, they all cannot arise. Like faith, sada, when you have confidence in the Buddha is teaching, there is no more doubt. Doubt cannot arise. Then when there is virya, sleepiness, sloth and torpor cannot arise. Then when there is sati, there is no thought. Sensual desire and ill will cannot arise. That's why all the five spiritual, the mental hindrances cease to be. Then samadhi is, of course, the collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. So this is stability of sati. When your sati become very stable, samadhi arise. So this one is what they call collectedness of mind. Or unwavering mind. So when your mind reach that stability, you become different. Then this panya is a consequence of sati and samadhi. When you have sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are, and insight into phenomena, then you arise what they call wisdom. Wisdom is panya. This last spiritual faculty automatically arises when sati and samadhi becomes developed and stabilized. So when you cultivate until this become very stable, unshakable, then they become the five spiritual powers. You can follow? Yeah? These five spiritual power, when they are there, technically you don't need to meditate. You are in the state of meditation throughout the day. Because your sati is so stable, your samadhi is so stable. That's why you are heedful in the midst of life. That's why you don't need object of meditation anymore after that. The moment you sit, it's already in sati, stillness. Even while in the conscious moment, going about in life, you are in that state of stillness. That's why in the midst of activity, there can be stillness. In the midst of sound, the heart is silent. So you can be in that state in the midst of life, society, no problem. Only those who haven't gone through this type of cultivation, they have doubt because they don't understand. They always say, how can I meditate? It's so noisy. Especially if they live in the city. They say, no, I must go for retreat. I must go to somewhere quiet, peaceful, seclusion. If you can only be peaceful when you are in that setting, then you can never develop the wisdom. You have to be peaceful in the midst of life, in the midst of activity, in the midst of phenomenal, the phenomenal world. So all this is to be done with understanding within life itself. That's why it's moment-to-moment cultivation. Then after that, the fourth foundation of mindfulness is throughout the day, your mind is only anchored to the four foundation. It's either with the kaya, which you have to do. Where kaya nupasana is the beginning. If you cannot stabilize your kaya, your mindfulness cannot come about. It's only when your kaya nupasana is developed until very stable, then your daily mindfulness come about. Then your initial wisdom will arise. After you have the ability to develop the daily mindfulness, which is sati sampajana, which means you have gone beyond the four posture, you have connected all the connecting movement within the four posture. Means every moment, every instant within life, you are aware. Then only you have the power to overcome covetousness and grief. That's why in the Satipatthana Sutta, you always hear this statement at the beginning. After overcoming covetousness and grief, then only you go into Vedana Nupassana, Chitta Nupassana, Dhamma Nupassana. Otherwise, you are wasting your time. Without the stability of mindfulness, without the initial wisdom, you go into all those you are verbalizing. You cannot do because your stability or sati is not there. You cannot be with the moment in sati. At the moment of contact, at the moment of feeling, your mind cannot stay there. You lack the stability or sati. That's the reason why I always share with you all, when you are really mindful throughout the day, you have the ability. You can be at the moment of sense experience, the moment of contact, the mind never move. You can stay at feeling. Feeling remain pure feeling. Even at the moment of perception, activity of mind, it just stop there. You have a choice. You want it to move, it moves. If it doesn't want it to move, you stay there, it just stay there. Then at the moment of consciousness, that's why in the seeing, it's only the consciousness. There's no one to see. You can be with that moment of consciousness. The moment of contact, hearing, everything. No movement. And that is what the cultivation is all about. And this four foundation of mindfulness has to be developed. Through very, very clear understanding and very, very diligent cultivation. That's why the virya, sati, samadhi, they have to be very stable. Then this wisdom, the moment it arises, it will help you develop the factors of enlightenment. When wisdom starts to appear, arise, means the factors of enlightenment are there. Otherwise, wisdom cannot arise. So when your spiritual faculty is there, your seven factors of enlightenment, they will arise very fast. So what are the seven factors of enlightenment? We go through them. These four foundations, you know, Kaya, Vedana, Chitta, and Dhamma. And Dhamma. Then the seven factor of enlightenment. Sati. See, sati, again, common. So you have this, you will have sati. Then Dhamma Vichaya, investigation of Dhamma. You will know how to do. Because this is a natural consequence. Dhamma Vichaya means Dhamma investigation. Then when it stands up to investigation, what happened? You have a lot of... Before piti, when it stands up to investigation, you become, your faith becomes stronger. Then you arise this virya, spiritual zeal, to go this way. Because your faith is now unshakable. You know the Dhamma is so beautiful. Stand up to investigate. The Buddha is so wise. That's why it will lead to virya becoming a spiritual power. So when virya arises, means you diligently cultivate. And this is what I mean by diligently cultivate. The four foundations of mindfulness must be diligently cultivated in the midst of life. So when you do that, your mind will arise piti. Then you will experience sukha, but it's not an enlightenment factor. But you know how to stabilize it, relax into it, silent. Then it will give rise to pasati. Pasati is tranquility of mind or stillness of mind. So this is the fifth enlightenment factor. So this is tranquility or stillness of mind or the silent mind. Tranquility of mind. So this is the silent mind, the meditative mind. Then when this one stabilizes, it becomes samadhi. The sixth enlightenment factor. Then when samadhi arises, you can see things as they are, you arise wisdom. With wisdom, the last enlightenment factor of Upekha will arise. Upekha, which is equanimity, will arise. Can follow? Yeah? If you meditate and this enlightenment factor doesn't surface, you are not doing it right. But when your spiritual faculty are there, actually all the enlightenment factors are there. Samadhi is there, sati is there, virya is there. So all these are the consequence of all these enlightenment factors. They will just appear. Like when you have sati, you will know how to investigate Dhamma. They will arise. Then when you have virya, you will develop the cultivation and the practice diligently. Then you will experience piti. Then you relax into it, silent. Your silent mind will arise. When you do anapanasati, formal meditation, is to develop this mind state, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. This is the meditative mind. This is the one that can see things as they are, that can insight into phenomena, awaken. That's why pasati is very important. Pasati is the tranquility or stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative. All meditation lead to this. If you don't hit this, you cannot awaken. That's it. So the last part is what? Noble Eightfold Path. Then you have to review the teaching, starting with right view, the three right view. Then you realize all this essential Dhamma that you have developed actually came from that three right view. Your four foundation of mindfulness develop, you will know what that 12 link is all about. Paticca-samuppada, citta-anupassana. Oh, sorry. Paticca-samuppada is the 12 link, dependent origination, how you function as a human being. Then after that, the last one is Dhamma Niyama, accumulating into the Dhamma Nupassana, where you heed the Four Noble Truths. Mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths, the three turning. This one will bring forth the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path. The things are connected to the last practice. That's why the Buddha said, Ekayano Bhikkhave Bhikkhu. He said, this is the only way for the purification of being, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, leading to the realization of Nibbana, which is enlightenment, namely the four foundations of mindfulness, which is true. Because within these four foundations of mindfulness, under Dhammanupassana, the last category of practice is the Noble Eightfold Path. And this is the meditation, as taught by the Buddha. He said, if you cultivate this, it will lead to the end of all suffering. That's how the whole teaching is linked. Then you add all this up. 4 plus 4 plus 5 is 13. Plus 5, 18. 18 plus 11, 29. Then plus 8, 37. So all the 37 factors are there. And this is how the cultivation is to be understood and developed. And you can do it every moment, every instant. But a lot of the 37 factor of enlightenment, you have to develop it first. Until you have them, then only you can do it in moment-to-moment cultivation. Because without them, if you still need to cultivate, then you cannot do it within the moment. So within the moment, is you have already developed the cultivation, then you can apply it within life itself. And it's automatic. The form and mind will know what to do. Because there is nobody inside there. It's just a karmically conditioned form and mind, a vehicle and a tool for you to come. And when you develop the understanding, the awakening, the wisdom is connected to this form and mind. And this form and mind is no longer deluded. No more ignorant. That's why it's not deceived. It will not suffer anymore. And you can say this form and mind is enlightened. But it's not you. Where that one is karmically conditional. It's impermanent. Lead to suffering. Non-self. Empty. If you deludedly grasp and cling, you suffer. That's why the five aggregate of form and mind become grasping aggregate you believe is you. Then you cling and hold. That's the reason why when the enlightenment happened, especially Arahant and beyond, their aggregate become non-grasping. That they know it's not a being, it's not them. Okay? So with this, I will end today's talk. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You got any question you can ask while I have a drink. Yeah, pass to Brother Gan. Yeah.
Brother Teo, this question is from Brother Gan.
Yeah, can no problem.
Actually, the last person to be ordained personally by the Buddha was Subala.
Yeah.
Subala, So he had asked the Buddha whether or not there were Aryas, true enlightened ones, other teachings. And since the those who have not come into contact or have knowledge, theoretical knowledge
of the Dhamma,
of these Eightfold Paths, Mysteries and Factors of Enlightenment, how are they to become enlightened?
That's why you can deduce it from the Buddha's answer to him. What did the Buddha answer to Subhadra? As long as the Noble Eightfold Path is in the world, there will be Aryas. That was the answer. You understand? It doesn't mean people who don't know Buddhism cannot understand Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path is very simple. Do you think you need Dhamma or Buddhist understanding to understand Noble Eightfold Path? What is Noble Eightfold Path? It's just one path factor within the Four Noble Truths. It's one of the Four Noble Truths, which is the Fourth Noble Truth. That's why this Noble Eightfold Path is just one path. But there are eight path factors within Noble Eightfold Path. And like I used to explain, Noble Eightfold Path is like the secret of life. You need Noble Eightfold Path to live life. You look at the Noble Eightfold Path. First path factor is what? Right view, right understanding with regards to what? The law of nature that governs life and existence. And the three spiritual law, the Buddha said, is law of karma, law of mind, law of truth, these three. If you know these three laws, you will know the secret of life. You will know how to live life. That's why to live life, you need to have this understanding. And this understanding don't need to be in the form of a religion. Do you understand? It's like science, nature's law. So when you understand this three right view, from there, you will know how to avoid all evil to good, because law of karma says that. Then you will understand why from this right view, you have to establish right thought, right speech, right action, and the right way to live your life. That's why right living is not right livelihood. Right living, the way you live your life. It's from the right view. Then you have to diligently arise the four right effort to purify the mind at the thought level. That's why you have to arise the right effort to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action that are still in you, that you have not understood and rooted out. Then when you have developed the understanding, then you can arise the right effort to prevent them from arising, because you have cultivated the essential Dhamma, part of the four foundation of mindfulness. When you can prevent them from arising, then all this wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, wrong livelihood will not disturb you. Then you can arise the third right effort to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action, and right living that is still not in you. Then the last right effort to improve on it or refine upon it and perfect them all. This is what the four right effort is all about. Then after that, the Buddha say, you have to develop sati to be able to be aware of all this mind state that is in you. The wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. What constitutes evil? The evil roots and all these things. And all this don't need Buddhist teaching to understand. Any ordinary person will understand. Then you look at life. To live life, what must you do? You must have right understanding, isn't it? Otherwise you cannot live. You must understand who are you, what are you. Otherwise who is living your life? So right understanding is very important. To live life with understanding. Otherwise, you will become heedless and create all the wrong action, speech, and thought process, they will lead to karmic negativity and downfall. Then to live life, you have to arise your thought. Otherwise, you cannot live life. Then you need to communicate. You have to arise your speech, your communication skill. Then you have to act. You have to eat. You have to do a lot of things. That's why there is right action. Then you have to have the right understanding to live life. That's why there is right living. Then you constantly train yourself through four right efforts. Then you ever mindful to be heedful to develop the wisdom and the right understanding to awaken to the universal characteristic. So this is how Noble Eightfold Path fit into life. Without Noble Eightfold Path, you cannot live life. That's why the enlightened beings are called Aryas. You know what are Aryas? Yeah? Aryas are noble ones, understand not? Noble one means what? They are very noble in the way they live life. They are very noble in the way they arise their thought, their speech, their action, and the way they live their life. And they have noble understanding of life. That's why they got right view. And they are very noble in their mind state. That's why they train their mind to be ever mindful, to have sati and samadhi. If you cannot have the Noble Eightfold Path factor, all these eight path factors, noble quality, you cannot be an enlightened being. You cannot be a noble one. So you can follow. The Buddha's advice to that last person he converted is correct. He said, don't worry about whether there will be Aryas or not. As long as there is this Noble Eightfold Path, he didn't say Buddhism, understand not, or his teaching. As long as this Noble Eightfold Path is there, the world will not be short of Aryas. And within the Noble Eightfold Path, you got Samasati. And that is where the four foundations of mindfulness is all about. And within the Noble Eightfold Path, all his teachings are there. Do you realize that? From the right view, is spin off all his teaching. The three spiritual law, law of karma. That's an essential dhamma with regards to law of karma, precept, everything comes about. Then, dependent origination, law of mind. That's why all of the four foundations of mindfulness, the satipatthana, and whatever mindfulness training that you develop, kaya nupasana, everything, they arise. Then the last right view is with regards to all the essential dhamma, the truth that he has taught. And all this spin off from the Four Noble Truths. That's why the third right view is about Four Noble Truths, the three turning, which is Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. And from there, all his teaching come about. And they are all linked in one big six-law puzzle. And within the six-law puzzle, you only need to have the Noble Eightfold Path. All the teaching are there. The third right view is the Four Noble Truth. And the Four Noble Truth is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. From there, the essential Dhamma all spin off from there. That's how his teaching becomes so unique, so powerful. Okay? What is your actual doubt?
So only the eight factors are enough to be...
Enough, because these eight factors cover the rest.
And then the fifth, how about, because the Buddha is not...
Do you realize, these first four, they are for worldly people who don't have the Dhamma. Then this second category, the four right effort, is part of Noble Eightfold Path. Do you realize that? Yeah? Then all these spiritual faculties, they are part of the Noble Eightfold Path. Because the Four Noble Truths, the third right view, the Four Noble Truths cover everything. Then this seven factor enlightenment and this four foundation of mindfulness is also part of Noble Eightfold Path under Samasati. Then when you cultivate this properly, the seven factor enlightenment will arise. That's why As long as there is this Noble Eightfold Path, this is the fourth Noble Truth, it will lead to the end of all suffering. Then people say, well, like that, I don't need to cultivate the rest. Because you don't understand. This covers everything. Do you understand? That's why Noble Eightfold Path is very powerful. And within, you have the four foundations of mindfulness, the four right effort, the what they call four noble truths. Everything is there. The law of karma, everything is there. Without Noble Eightfold Path, this is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That's the reason why I always say, whatever meditation you do, if it don't lead you back to the Noble Eightfold Path, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Means you don't have the noble factor, the noble path factor to make you a noble one or enlightened one. You have to be very noble in all aspects of life. Because this Noble Eightfold Path, all the eight path factors relate to life. That's why life itself is the meditation. Now you understand why moment to moment cultivation. Why daily mindfulness? Without daily mindfulness, you don't stand a chance. Can follow? You have to slowly reflect, contemplate. To me, what is important is the cultivation. Don't let your thought create all this question in you. No point. Do you understand? When you develop the cultivation, the understanding will come. And all your questions will be self-answered. You don't need anybody to answer for you. But when you have not developed the cultivation, what you are using is your thought process, which still has delusion. It cannot understand. That one will create a lot of doubt. And doubt is a mental hindrance. It will prevent you from cultivating. Why can't you instead develop the faith and just try it out, investigate? Like Deng Xiaoping, I'm blind. I find out. I investigate. If I'm not a Buddhist, I use the four bases of success. Then I find out. Then finally, when I am introduced to the Dhamma, I look at it. I investigate into it. Then if it's really useful, can bring about understanding, can transform my life, my character, my personality, and lead to the good life, then I know it's the truth. It stands up to investigation. Then when you understand the teaching more deeply, the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, because these are the triple gem that you take refuge. You must understand what they are. Otherwise, you take refuge in something that you don't understand. Then you develop clear understanding. Oh, the Buddha is so wise, so beautiful in his understanding. That's why the nine great virtues of the Buddha are all there. The quality of the Dhamma are all there, so that I meditate with understanding. If I do the meditation that don't lead to this type of Dhamma, then it's definitely not what the Buddha teach. You remember? Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Well expounded is the Dhamma by the Buddha. And the characteristic of this Dhamma that the Buddha teach is what? This Dhamma is sanditiko. Can be realized in the here and the now. No need to wait till death. The religion that say you die only go eternal heaven, you can forget about it. Understand? Then this Dhamma is akaliko. Beyond thought, beyond time. If your meditation is thought-based, leading to knowledge, this is not akaliko. You are still within the field of thought. You have not realized the unconditioned, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. Then this Dhamma is, after sanditiko, akaliko, ehipasiko, stand up to investigation, because it's the truth. It's not scared of anybody investigating into it. It can stand up to investigation. Then this Dhamma is opanayiko, leading inward to the heart, and can be only understood and to be realized only by the wise, each for themselves. That's why Pache Tang Veditatpo Vinohiti. If all these characteristics of the Dhamma are not in the Dhamma that you realize, or the so-called meditation experiences, then you better check what type of meditation you are doing. It's not what the Buddha has taught you. Then the four great quality of an Arya, what are they? To be an Arya, enlightened one, you must have what quality? The four qualities, Supatipanno. Of good conduct, do you have it? Then of upright conduct, do you have it? Of wise conduct, do you have it? Of dutiful conduct, do your duty very well, do you have it? If all this you don't have, you say you're enlightened, then definitely it's not what the Buddha teach. Well, these are the character or characteristic of the Triple Gem, the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. That's why you have to chant the salutation to the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, until you understand, because you take refuge in them. So that you will not be deluded and deceived by what people tell you. You will not be gullible and you meditate. Because when transformation happens, everything is according to the teaching. So beautiful. You have all those things. That's the reason why the Buddha said, stand up to investigation. He is not telling you theory or concept or some very esoteric type of teaching. No. These are day-to-day teaching related to life. Whoever who has the faith, the sincerity, and the perseverance, you develop the cultivation, the meditation, you can realize this truth. And this truth, he never monopolized. He never say only Buddhists can have. No. Any living being, as long as you can understand truth, the Dhamma. Because Dhamma is truth. He teach the truth, nothing else. But when he call it the Arya Satya, then it's noble truth. Understand? Truth that can bring about enlightenment in the here and the now. When you understand this truth, you can become noble ones. That's why it's called noble truth. It's not called ultimate truth or ordinary truth. But it's called noble truth. Truth that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones. That's why he called his teaching the Four Noble Truths. Truth that can awaken living beings and make them noble ones. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Yeah. Sadhu, Brother Tiong. Thank you. And for the further explanation of Brother Gan's question. And I think that the need to have knowledge of the Dharma, it is only helping us in understanding, but not realization to become an Arya. For realization to become an Arya, as Brother Teo had clearly explained, it is the cultivation, the Eightfold Path. So what we have been reading, all this, it only helps us to understand in an intellectual way, right, about the world, about Dharma, Karma, in its various concepts and views. And of course, we need these views and concepts, right views, right understanding. And that is also necessary, because the Buddha says that without the five aggregates, there is no communication. For us to be in communication with the Buddha, that is to say that the imparting of messages, you need the five aggregates. Without the five aggregates, no communication. So anyway, Brother Teo, thank you, and sadhu.
Okay. Yeah. Then just to add to the last part that Brother Teo mentioned, the five aggregates, it's not only you need it to communicate, whenever you come to the existential world, or you need to come to the existential world, you must have this five aggregate of form and mind karmically conditioned out. This is the only vehicle and tool. That's why this is the secret of life. This is how Buddhas, Bodhisattva, and living beings come through the law of karma, through the five aggregate of form and mind. But if you do not have the understanding that this five aggregate of form and mind is not you, then you will be deluded, deceived. That's how living beings become heedless, create karmic negativity. Then the law of karma continuously through samsara make you the traveler in space and time. You understand? The knower become the living being. And the living being become the traveler in space and time for eternity. Where you cannot free. You believe that is you. That's why karma catches a hold of you. Because there is this self-delusion, wrong view, that attach and cling. That's why because of craving, the house builder is there. Continuously build a new house for you. So that one, you got no choice. You have to come. You cannot choose to come. Because born of ignorance, delusion, sakayadity. Okay? So form and mind is part and parcel of the nature's existential law. Without form and mind, that nature cannot come out, cannot live life. Because that nature is not a being, not a person, not something that you can use to come out and live life and say, this is me, this is I. No such thing. To come to the conditioned world, you need a conditioned entity. That's why the five aggregate of form and mind is condition arising, dependent originating, impermanent, having the universal characteristics of impermanent leading to suffering, then non-self and empty nature. So all this, you have to meditate to develop the understanding. Then only you can have that wisdom connected to the form and mind. Then the form and mind with that wisdom will liberate. It will not be deceived or deluded by the phenomenal world anymore. And then you can live life to the fullest, beautifully. When I say you, means the form and mind. Just like the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. That refers to the five aggregate of form and mind, even though it's not you, but it's part of your karmic nature. Every segment that you come, the form and mind, is related to your karmic nature. And when you use it to cultivate the spiritual understanding, then part of the understanding will be deposited in the spiritual nature. But this nature is not a being, not an individual. You can say it's recorded in nature's law, yes. But it's not you. So, unless you awaken, you can never, never understand all this. So, for the time being, just understand that this is the teaching. And what you need is, you need to have faith, sincerity. Then just do, don't try to know. The moment the form and mind awaken, the form and mind will understand. And this will help you a lot. Otherwise, I tell you, your thought will create a lot of doubt and question for you. And it will deceive you more and more. Then you end up argue, reason, create more and more doubt and division. And this is not useful. A lot of living being or cultivator are trapped in thought. And before enlightenment, the five aggregate of form and mind, that thought will not have right thought. All of the thought will be heedless, deluded thought. That's why the use of that form and mind is very important. The use of thought must have the wisdom to arise the right thought, right speech, right action. Noble Eightfold Path cannot be perfected without right view, without wisdom. The user of the form and mind must have that wisdom. Then Noble Eightfold Path can come about. Otherwise, it cannot come about. Okay? So, with that, we can end. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you so much.
Alright, we'd like to extend a token of appreciation to Brother Theo. Sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, I have to call upon Brother Chua. Eh? Brother Chua, come. Oh, Chua Junior representative. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. See, now he donate to the center. So, no work done. Eh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. But you get to rejoice so many times. But because in the process, so much wholesomeness has arisen. So, a lot of things in life is like that. You may think that it's not significant. But when you do with understanding, there is a lot of significance. And a lot of things within the conditioned world can happen in this way. Likewise, if through delusion you do it negatively, then it has its repercussion. That is what nature's law is all about. Okay? So thank you. Huh? You can have your food in there. Yeah? Oh, share your merits. Huh? I forgot. Huh? Oh, very important. Yeah. I think we should dedicate the merit to Brother Xia also, that they, Xia Jin Li, Xia Jin Li, and together with his family, especially Nancy. Okay, let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 2.5 hours. Oh no, 1.5 hour, 8:30, 9:30. Oh, 1 hour. Yeah. Then let us rejoice in this wholesomeness. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then let us dedicate this marriage to Brother Xia, Jin Li, and family, especially to the wife, Nancy, so that it can arise the causes and conditions for him to recover to good health, good mind state, so that he can continue to expand his whatever life with his family members and develop the opportunity to cultivate this Buddha Dhamma. And he can be with us, Kainamita, to do a lot more wholesomeness together. And being part of the Kainamita group, they have also helped out in many ways, in the retreat, spiritual trips, and sometimes in all our activity. Then they also have helped many house dana, I think too. Then Sister Nancy also has helped us do the transcript when we were having the house dana at her house, the book. Understanding the essential Dhamma of the Buddha, the brown book is very good. And all these are very wholesome. So by the power of this wholesomeness, may arise the causes and conditions for Brother Xia Jin Li, Nancy, and the whole family to have the causes and conditions to have the good life, and to allow causes and conditions for Brother Xia to recover to good health and good mind state, so that he can have many more years of good life together with Nancy and family to do whatever he wants to do in life. Then now we will share and transfer this merit to all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumodit rakantu loka sasana itawata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan Tewa anumodantu sabbasampati siddhiya idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontunyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontunyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontunyatayo Imena punyang kamena Mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end.